The time is 9:06, currently 36 degrees under partly sunny skies in downtown Wausau. Hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show. Coming up tonight, we have high school boys basketball, the Marathon Red Raiders and the Auburndale Eagles in a Division IV sectional semifinal. And last night on the Big High School Sports Show, had a chance to talk to a Marathon head boys basketball coach Adam Jacobson. Really, really intelligent guy. And I started off by saying, are you tired of teams like Auburndale and Stratford all the time, both in the regular season and in the playoffs?
You know, I think like it's championship week in a lot of the smaller schools in NCAAs, right? You got to go through your regular season tournament. Now you have to go through a conference tournament.
Right.
And it recently, you know, it's kind of been that way, you know, with having to beat a team potentially a second or third time. But wonderful programs in our area, in our league. And I mean, you can just tell. I mean, I think Edgar 19 wins, Stratford 20 wins, Auburndale 22 wins. Just tremendous, tremendous programs, tremendously well coached and tremendous players.
Well, let's go back. Obviously, it's been a long season. I mean, it always is. The winter sports season is it's a marathon. Teams develop and change, but your team has been incredibly consistent this year. I mean, you've played 26 games now, and obviously you've won 25 of them, went through a gauntlet of the Marrowwood Conference undefeated. And I tend to ask this question when you come in, and a lot of coaches, obviously the expectations were high when you have when you have one of the best players in the state, a senior who's been through it so much, and a kid that's 6'10". I mean, frankly, you just don't have a lot of those kids out there. Those expectations are high, but you also knew you had some really good players around him as well. Coming into the season, I imagine that there was a sense, I don't know if you call it pressure, but there were exceptionally high expectations, weren't there?
Yeah, there were. You know, the way the season ended last year, you know, and then you set goals and where you want to be. And then through the summer, we challenge ourselves a lot in the summer. We're fortunate to be able to play in the league here in the Wausau area against Valley schools, which have had tremendous seasons. And you go out and you challenge yourself at area tournaments throughout the state. And we liked what we saw, and we knew we had some potential. And the guys knew that as well. And coming into the year, and it's just, yeah, you got to take it. I know it's cliche, but you just have, it's a process, right? You say it's a marathon. And, consistency is a big word we talk about in our program in a lot of different realms. But certainly every time we want to step on the floor, we want to be consistent. And yeah, I would say hopefully those who have watched us over the course of the season, I think we've certainly gotten better. I think we even got better this week. And I was preaching to the guys, you know, the last 3 days of practice, but consistency certainly stands out. You know, I was talking to my wife a little bit this morning. I think I'd like to think you can count maybe on one hand the amount of halves or something like that where we've kind of not been solid. Mm-hmm. You know, you saw us a little bit at Wittenberg-Burnwood. That would probably be one of them. You know, Colby there in the second half. You know, I thought there's been areas where we've had some down dips, but there's been few and far between, and we're continually climbing the ladder and getting better. And that's a credit to the kids that they're hungry and they want to keep getting better and they want to challenge themselves and they want more. And hopefully this week we can want more and hopefully earn more.
The process is an important word, because no matter whether it's an NFL team that loses in the playoffs or a college team that loses in the Sweet 16, you don't get to start there.
Right.
Like last year, you were at this point, and obviously it was a disappointing end to the season. But the thing is, you can't start there. You have to start all over again. You have to go right back to the beginning. You have to go through the summer. You have to go through the early practices and go through the early part of the season, the conference. I mean, there are no shortcuts. And I think with a team that has the expectations, you're almost saying, well, we got to get to this point, but you can't take a shortcut, can you?
You can't. And I was actually thinking about that today, and this group hasn't taken the shortcuts. They've enjoyed the steps along the way, the June, the July, you know, and then as you get into the season, and that's really what we've preached. That's what it's all about. You know, sometimes, you know, the destination is the journey, right? You know, that you have to enjoy that. Yeah, we're happy to earn it here, and yeah, we want more, but I think I've told you this before along the way, regardless of where it ends, you know, we know where we want it to end, but regardless of where it ends, we want to look back, wow, we gave everything we had to become the best we're capable of becoming. And that's success. And I think the kids have, you know, and that's why you want all the successes for them, because they've done that. They haven't taken shortcuts. They've enjoyed the journey. They're enjoying it with who they're with. And I think that's very, very important. And I think that gives you the best opportunity to be the best you're capable of becoming.
Have there been any surprises this year? Because I know when you have some kids back who have done some very successful things. We're going to talk about all these kids, but have there been any surprises within your roster this year?
Yeah, I think, because Grant was hurt early, with a couple ankle injuries, and then we've had some illness and things like that. I was very surprised and pleased with how we've developed depth. True was out for a little while, yeah. And, we've had guys have to start for us and play expanded roles and things like that. We've had six different guys lead us in scoring, mm-hmm. our balance. I'm really happy and hopefully it shows here in sectional week with our mental and physical toughness. And hopefully that shows itself here tomorrow in a wonderful environment. The cohesiveness and the collective resolve of our group together has really been, how we can respond when we're hit in the mouth. I mean, those are all things that you question to yourself. You don't know. But we've been in challenging environments throughout, going down to Concordia and in the Merriwood South and going to Mosinee and put in many, many different situations that we've responded to. And you don't know. Those are all questions as you go into a season. How's the team going to develop? How are they going to play together? And, to this point, I'm very, very proud of who they've become. And, hopefully we still have some time left together.
Let's talk about a few of the guys. Let's start with Grant Warren because, again, it's hard for him to hide because he's 6 feet 10 inches tall, and he's been there for a number of years now. You said it. I mean, it's our start of the season. It took a little while to get healthy, but, I mean, lately it looks like, and, again, I saw him Saturday against Stratford, and, again, he was a handful for the Tigers. Had the big monster game the last time against Auburndale. When you look at Grant – as a basketball player, and you've obviously had a chance to see him for many years now, what jumps out about what has made him as successful as he's been?
Well, coming into this year, how much he's diversified his game. He was a first-team all-conference player as a sophomore, growing into his body, right? Mm-hmm. More of a back-to-the-basket guy. And then last year, kind of evolved a little bit. Maybe he'll step a little bit of away, but now this year he's gotten stronger and he loves to play face up. He can play off of the bounce, and then his ability to defend and rebound and run the floor. His game has just expanded so much from freshman year to sophomore year to junior year to senior year. And, his production is off the charts. There's just been, he just maybe in some games hasn't played as many minutes this year as he had to last year, but his production, his high level play is just tremendous at the high school level. And that's what's so exciting about, where he may go from here is he's got five more years yet to develop. Who's he going to be as a 21, 22, 23 year old man is really exciting for him, both on the court and off the court, because he's a tremendously high achieving student as well. Mm-hmm. A wonderful young man. He's been a wonderful leader for us. Been a great teammate, and he's hungry, he's humble, and he wants to ride this thing out as long as he can.
And he's got such a nice touch for a big guy. I when we had him on earlier, and I told him that it's like when you see him at the free throw line, you're so used to seeing guys like him where it feels like it's so hard to hit a free throw.
Sure.
He makes it look so easy. I mean, he's got such a nice little touch, and he makes it look easy, and obviously he's got the capability to step outside as well. As you said, that diversification, and that just has got to be a nightmare for teams trying to slow you down.
Yeah, because he's not only long, but he is athletic, and he's got a tremendous touch, as you said, and he's got a really high skill for the game. And, that's just he works hard at, baseball he works hard at it, basketball he works hard at it, in the weight room he just really, really wants to be good in everything he does, and that's a testament to his work ethic. It doesn't just happen.
Again, we're talking to Adam Jacobson, head boys basketball coach at Marathon High School here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Put a couple of kids together that were sitting together here a number of months ago in Cooper Huxema and Tyler Underwood. And part of the Marathon success story, I think, is the fact you got these multi-sports guys. And you throw Grant in there as well. But Cooper and Tyler, they've been in so many big moments, whether it's the fall, the winter, or the spring. kids like that who have been through the wars, I imagine as a coach, boy, when there are tough situations, those are the kind of kids you can really lean on.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, multi-sport athletes. You look at Tyler, he's been first team all conference in three sports, yeah. You know, and Cooper right there behind him in high achieving. They played in a sectional final baseball game last year. We were in sectionals last year for basketball. they've won the Merriwood South three straight years in hoops. You know, they've been in a lot of environments over the last three, 4 years, and experience does matter, you know, and the only way you can gain experience is to go through it. Having that much experience playing that much in varsity athletics, they can lead us, and they know how to work hard, you know. And that's like, even this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they weren't happy to be here. They're here with a purpose. Mm-hmm. And that was very evident in our practices. Hopefully we go out and we play like we practice, play like we've prepared, because they've earned it.
And I know those two are going to be ready for Auburndale. That football game probably still sticks in their craw, not to mention, of course, the last year. And then you got kids like Drew Wolfel and Truthers, mm-hmm. again, guys that have been so productive as well. I mean, mm-hmm. as you said earlier, I mean, the thing is, sometimes you can get, you know, blinded by, you know, Grant getting 43 against Auburndale and getting all those rebounds. But then you have all these kids that are capable. And that can, sometimes that's not as easy done as said, because you have to be ready for the opportunities and then take advantage. And you got kids that just seem to, when they get that open look, or they get that lane to the basket, or that moment where maybe Grant's on the bench for a few minutes and you need somebody to step up, they all seem to be very comfortable in moving in their roles. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. You know, and we kind of learned that this summer. We played in a tournament without Grant, and like, well, these guys can score themselves. And Grant is not only the rebounding and the points, but he's a very willing and able passer, as you've seen.
Yes.
And we love to play off of each other and share the ball. And you've seen us for many years make the extra pass. And we have a lot of balance in that regard, you know, a lot more balance, throughout. And you even have Andy Glennon coming off the bench. He's led us in scoring as well. So, and, you know, now you talk Drew and True, you know, as much varsity athletics as they played, they're junior. They may be sophomores by year, but they're juniors in experience for us.
You mentioned the passing, and boy, that's a great point, because even last Saturday, there were a couple of times where your guys are on the same wavelength. That's part of the passing. It's part of knowing exactly where your teammate's going to be. It's reading the plays correctly, and then the timing being so good. I mean, as a coach, I mean, you probably can't help but have a little smile when you see those plays, because that is team basketball at its best.
It's great. Yeah, read and react, space the floor, play with some pace, share it. It's exciting stuff to play at a high level. And I thought Saturday we played at a very, very high level. And hopefully for 36 minutes tomorrow night, we can play at a very high level as well.
And we'll have more with Marathon head boys basketball coach Adam Jacobson coming up in just a moment here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, tonight we have high school boys basketball, Division IV sectional semifinal, the Marathon Red Raiders and the Auburndale Eagles. Last night, myself and Jeff Kress had an opportunity to talk to the Marathon head boys basketball coach, Adam Jacobson. And again, really always enjoyable to talk to the coach, a very well-rounded guy. And we continued talking to Coach Adam Jacobson.
Athletics are an extension of the classroom, right? As an extracurricular, I firmly believe that. You know, academics, obviously, extremely important in the school setting, but the athletics and the extracurricular, whatever that may be, is an extension of that classroom and what can be learned, teamwork. You know, you think about it from a basketball standpoint, a lot of, we talk about this at the beginning of the year, a lot of what you're trying to accomplish may be countercultural, right? It's not about I, it's about us, it's about we, it's about what we can collectively accomplish, which is very important. And sometimes, like you said, it's not always about the X's and the O's. Sometimes it's about the Jimmys and the Joes, right? And the relationships you can build. And that's not necessarily just something that started in June. You know, think about this, and Grant mentioned it when he came here. You know, 13 years ago is when they started their journey as a kindergarten in the Little Reds program. So you're talking about relationships that have materialized both in the classroom and out of the classroom for the past 13 years. You know, so you talk about a culmination, and this is, you know, not just our program, you know, Auburndale's the same. You got 13 years built into this, you know, to try to become the best you're capable of becoming. And you see them in the, you know, I'm fortunate enough, I'm in the teacher, I'm in the classroom. So I get to see these kids in the classroom, on the basketball floor, outside the classroom. And these are relationships that you want to cultivate and build and that carry on, you know, when you go to their wedding, maybe when they get older, or see them around in town. And, you know, I was telling the guys, you know, I was in church the other day, and there's a former player family. There's a former player, it's family. There's a former player. And it's like, it makes you feel old, but it also makes you feel great that how they've gone and they've expanded their lives and are wonderful, productive people of our community. And those are things that are built not only in the classroom, but on the court, and learning and working with those people. It's very rewarding, and it's exciting.
And those wins may not show up when we say, you know, Adam Jacobson, whatever the record may be.
Whatever's on the left, whatever's on the right.
Exactly. Yeah. Those wins are just as big as any of the wins that are on the score sheet, aren't
Absolutely.
They? And we are very happy to welcome Jeff Gress in. And, man, you miss a lot of time here.
Not Lombardi time.
I apologize.
But the thing about it, make sure you talk into the microphone so we can hear you.
I'm trying to figure the zone.
I will say that I have saved all the Merriwood South questions, because I haven't even asked him about the conference, because I knew you were going to come in here and ask about the conference. But have you been listening when you were driving over?
Well, no, I wanted to ask him about personnel, and I had this long philosophical one that you just took. No, yeah, I listened all the way over here. Because, I mean, I had 10 minutes trying to find a parking spot.
That's what I told you. He's probably trying to find parking.
And I got out late. Anyways, you want me to go?
Yeah, go on.
All right. So one of the things I was thinking about is, obviously all the success you've had at Marathon with the players, the coaches that you have on your staff, the continued job you guys do as a program in the Marrowwood, the playoff consistency, all that stuff. How big a part has it been from your journey, not as a player at, and correct me if I'm wrong, as Chippewa Falls, did you play at Viterbo a little bit too? Mm-hmm. Playing at, or maybe not a little bit, I don't know how much, but played at Viterbo.
A little bit's probably classified pretty well.
Played at Viterbo, and then obviously starting off in an outstanding program with tradition, and then carrying on and making it, you know, the program that you're head up on, and continuing that, but also tweaking it to be what's good for everybody else under your
See why I was you know, short, because you know.
Well, like, I'm getting to my point here. How big a deal has all those experiences along the way, from your time as a high school player, your time as a college player, to learning how it works a little bit at the freshman level, to now being the head of something very that you're obviously very proud of, that's done an excellent job here in the area and beyond, in the Marrowwood. How big a deal is all those experiences along the way?
Everything along the journey, from the playing days to being for my first year, I coached basketball. I was 22 years old up in Grantsburg. I coached JV girls basketball, and we were 0-19. And then I went to eighth grade, and then I went to freshman. And then, you know, and all along the way, all the people I've worked with and been able to learn from, and the mentors, you know, I still talk to Coach Reiki all the time. I still talk to Coach Culhane all the time. And then a lot of the guys from there, you know, Claude's still with us. And, you know, Chuck Wolf was one of the stages. So, yeah, I'm very fortunate that I get to pick people's brains and throw scenarios, and they can throw stuff and don't forget about this. And, but yeah, the ups and the downs, the, you know, I know we've talked one time you asked me, well, what are some of the main wins you've had? And I don't remember those, but I remember the losses, because those are fertilizer, right? Yeah. We've changed things throughout in our program from year to year off of things that we've fallen short on. And, hopefully in an accumulation of time and age, and maybe there's a little bit of wisdom in there somewhere.
And how we talk in a time when we talk about, you know, some teams you look at not being able to have enough guys to support a Jaden Varsity, and other schools like, yeah, we only got, you know, a couple, we got seven guys that are out or in a girls' program, wherever it is. And every time I talk with you lately, is, you know, you have as many teams as a big Division I school does. I mean, the instillment of pride and these kids wanting to be part of something, I think that's a huge deal. You don't get a certificate for that, but that's a huge deal.
Yeah, I think, and once again, it starts in our little Reds. You know, we get close to 80 kids in our K-5 program, right? And then we're fortunate where we have, you know, St. Mary's and we have Mays. We have, you know, teams at each grade level there. And then they come together and they collaborate and they play some travel ball. And then, yeah, when they get to the high school, we take pride in the development of every kid. You know, not every kid's going to be a varsity starter, but they sure can become the best basketball player they're capable of becoming. Yeah. You know, whether that's on the JV3, the JV2, the JV, the varsity, have the opportunity to become the best player you're capable of becoming. And our kids have really bought into that. They've really tried. And we've had, you know, sophomores who've been on the JV2 play meaningful minutes as a varsity player, as a senior in a regional final. We've had juniors who've been on JV be all conference as a senior. You know, so it's not a demotion, it's an opportunity. And our kids have really bought into, all right, wherever I'm at, I'm going to make the most of where I'm at. And hopefully in the long run, they become the best paid player they're capable of becoming, and we can become the best team we're capable of becoming. But yeah, we've been very fortunate to, you know, and we're in the area where we can play teams that have four teams and stuff like that. We can schedule and we can find opportunities for our kids, which is very thankful.
Marathon head boys basketball coach Adam Jacobson. Again, we'll have more with the coach coming up after an information update, news, weather, and sports. And again, don't forget, we have Marathon and Auburndale tonight. 6:35 pregame, 7 o'clock opening tip right here on Bow Falls Radio. But we'll get the latest on the news, weather, and sports, and then more with Adam Jacobson coming up here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
Set for this weekend at the Resch Center in Green Bay. I'm Travis Wilson, and this is a WISPSports.net Minute brought to you by NFHSnetwork.com. More high school sports news after this.
Do you ever wish you could be in two places at once? With homework, carpool, practice, and everything else, sometimes you just can't make it to every game. But the NFHS Network's streaming platform makes that a little easier. For just $11.99 a month, you can watch unlimited high school sports live and on demand, at home or on the go. You can watch online or on one of our mobile or connected TV apps. Visit NFHSnetwork.com and subscribe today to never miss another game.
The 2024 WIAA Girls Basketball State Tournament is set for this weekend in Green Bay, as the Resch Center will once again play host to all the action. That action gets underway on Thursday in Division III, where top-seeded Edgewood will take on 4-seeded Baldwin-Woodville. Kettle Moraine Lutheran faces Xavier in the other semifinal. Defending champion Laconia is the top seed in Division IV, which also includes the Prairie School, Cuba City, and last year's Division V state champion McDonald Central, who moves up this season. Friday starts with a bang as Six Rivers East Conference rivals Argyle Pecatonica and Albany Monticello will meet up, with Argyle Peck winning the first two matchups between the teams this year. Lena faces Clear Lake in the other D5 game. Pewaukee is the top seed in D2 and will face West Salem, while three-time defending state champion Notre Dame meets up with Wauwatosa East on the other side of the bracket. If the seeding holds, we'll get a Pewaukee-Notre Dame title game in D2 for a third consecutive season. We'll have a new champion in Division I, where two-time defending winner Kettle Moraine failed to qualify this season. Arrowhead is the top seed and will face off against Franklin, while Hartford meets up with Nina on the other Division I semifinal. State title games in all five divisions will be held on Saturday. This has been a WISPSports.net Minute. Check us out online at WISPSports.net.
Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. Yeah, battling a terrible night to have a bit of a weak voice. It's been going around, as we talked about with Pat Kreitler earlier. But I'm going to have to get ready for a big one tonight. High school boys basketball marathon and Auburndale Division IV sectional semifinal. Two wins away from this trip to the state tournament. In addition to this program, on Wednesday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m., co-hosting the big high school sports show. Last night, Jeff Grest and myself talked to the head boys basketball coach of Marathon High School, Adam Jacobson, and continuing and finishing off our conversation with the coach.
And I think it holds true when you watch your team. I've seen you in games where you clear the bench and you got the subs in, and those kids continue to stay disciplined and they continue to do their role. And I think that just credits down from the coaches to the type of players you have to what you instill in them, because you can see it. There's not loose cannons firing away on sure. a three-point shot to get those points. They'll get something within the offense, and it shows that discipline. Did you ask him about Auburndale yet?
Nope, I'm not. We were basically talked about the team and did not get to Auburndale yet. Didn't talk about the conference or Auburndale yet.
Well, let's go to the conference. I mean, I was filling up my – I mean, it's probably going to be – if you want to turn on last year's show, it's probably the same thing. But I was – putting those records down on paper again, and it's just like, wow. I mean, this is your fourth place team with either 20 wins or almost 20 wins,
right.
and just the amount that happens in that Merrillwood conference on a given year. What a nice brutality to have to get you ready for that playoff season and get you ready to make your run. I guess they always see him again.
Right,
you got to
right.
go through him again, but
right.
you know it's well earned at that point. So, right. what would you, your thoughts on the conference this year?
It's such a privilege, right, to be able to go night in, night out with everybody. And yeah, I mean, Edgar at 19 wins, and Stratford at 20 wins, and I think Auburndale's around 22 right now. And Assumption had a nice young nucleus, and Newman certainly got better, winning a playoff game towards the end of the year. And the North is really young, you know. So you want to talk about how it continue to develop. The North's going to be up and coming here for years to come. But, yeah, I mean, tremendous talent, individual players, tremendous coaches, tremendous balance. And it's just shown, you know, year after year after year. And it makes us better. And that's all you can ask for in a regular season.
Tomorrow night it is Auburndale. And, again, third meeting. You just saw them at the end of the regular season. You know, I mean, you're going to have a challenge because that's just the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
they and the thing about it is they learn from previous matchups. Mm-hmm. You saw that, I'm sure, last year. How do you what is your mindset this week going into this game in terms of trying to prepare? Do you try to, again, not to give away any secrets, but mm-hmm. do you basically say, okay, this has worked so far, or do you try to think, well, maybe, you know, Coach Weinfurter is going to be trying something a little different? I mean, the mindset, when the term chess match is used too often, but I think in this case it could be apropos.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're a tremendous program, tremendous players, two first-team all-conference in the Cadence. Chad's as good of a coach as there is in the state. You have to be prepared for everything, and you do that throughout. It's not like, oh, there's 3 days here to prepare right. for Auburndale. You're doing it throughout to, you know, how can we beat the best teams that are in front of us? And you're always preparing for that. But, you know, I'm probably going to give two cliches here, but this is really true. One, it's about us. You know, what level can we play at?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how well can we defend? How well can we rebound? How well can we take care of the ball play? You know, that matters. And then plus, everything in the past or whatever, you know, that's all conjecture. That's all wonderful talk, and people can but it all comes down to 36 minutes tomorrow, right? You know,
right.
the previous matchups we've had with them this year, in the past. All, I get it. I mean, we play each other a ton, right? But it comes down to 36 minutes tomorrow. It's Thursday, March 7th in Merrill. How well do we play? How well do they play? How bad do we, you know, all those things. It comes down to when the ball is tipped at 7 o'clock, it's a basketball game, and the best team that night is going to advance. And all we can do is the best we possibly can, and hopefully it's us in the end who advances.
And I apologize if I missed part of this, because I know you're talking about personnel on the way over here, but I was also trying to find a parking spot and not hit anybody so, and race here. When you get to your personnel, and I was just, as you're answering that, I'm just reflecting on the different players you've had over the years. You know, with every group being their own, you know, having their own stake in it and everything, you think this is one of more of your balanced groups from what you have from guard play to the big guy to youth to experience to the guys that just did such a good job coming off the bench and knowing their role? You think one of more of your balanced groups over the years?
It has a little bit of everything, yeah. I mean, I think that they really love defense. They've defended at a high level. We rebound at a high level. We have a lot of balance. We share the ball well. They play well together. They're wonderful kids. It's as high academic achieving a group as we've ever had. That's a wonderful question. I guess, you know, I'm not into comparison and don't really know, but in their own right, they're a tremendously high achieving team in many ways, and I'm really, really proud of them. However it shakes out, and they know that, they know how I feel about them, and it's just, and that's a big part of it too, is we want to do everything we can to keep this thing going because we don't want it to end.
What do you like best about your team? I mean, you know, there's a ton of great things that we can talk about, but just your feelings as their coach. What's the, like, this is really awesome about us.
They're great kids. And I'm not just saying that as a cliche either. They're wonderful young men, high academics. They happen to be very, very talented basketball players collectively. They enjoy each other. They enjoy coming to practice today and any day and getting better. They are an absolute joy and privilege to be around, which makes you want them to have every possible success possible. And I in their group that they came in as kindergartners my first year. You know, there's special in that, right? Like, this is the first group I've had. Year 1 through 13, we've been together, and it's really cool, and we've developed some strong relationships.
Isn't that? And I know in talking to coaches over the years, a team could be 4-18, but if they enjoy, they come in and they work as hard as they can, and they're good guys or good girls, good kids. It's still wonderful,
right?
And then you combine that with the success. It's just got to be. But again, I've seen with successful programs, but if they aren't buying in, where it's always hard, that takes away. I think a lot of people don't realize it. It's not about, again, winning is wonderful, isn't it? But boy, just walking into that gym and seeing people that you like being around, I imagine that is.
Exactly. It could go both ways, right? You could be 4-18 and be the most enjoyable year you've ever had. You could be 18-4. It could be miserable, right? Yep. I mean, yep. This group has just been a joy, and I think that's really shown in our community support. You know, I mean, these people want to watch and support them. Our gym is packed, and I know it's going to be packed tomorrow night. They just really, and we talk about that at the beginning of the year. Be people want to cheer for, and I really think this group is, and hopefully we can make the community proud.
You're right. People care, because today I got a call from somebody saying, my great uncle, the big marathon fan, wants to know if the game's on the radio tomorrow. I mean, you love hearing that. There's another call saying, is the game on the radio tomorrow? You know,
that's great.
And that is great. I mean, it shows, again, the passion that the folks in Marathon have for your team. Jeff, anything else you want to add for the coach before we wrap it up?
Just last question for tomorrow. I know you mentioned it was about 36 minutes for you guys to win or lose, I guess, feel good at the end of the night about what we tried to go out, set out and do, what we accomplished, hopefully with the W. What's something like, this is what you're going to see for our team, and it's going to be a good game, and from knowing my team so well, this is something we want to try to avoid a little bit tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we have to defend the three-point shot at high level. We have to hold them to one shot. We want to see the ball move. We want to get it side to side, get it reversed. We want to play with space. We want to share the ball. We want to be consistent. We want to seize the moment, embrace it, and have fun. Enjoy it. You know, we talked about this on Saturday. I always write an old Jack Bennett acronym on there. It's give it your best and live with it, right? I mean, we put that on the board. But, I mean, you also have to understand that all you can do is give it your best. I mean, sometimes it's tough to live with it. I mean, there's times you do give it your best and you fall up short, but give it your best tomorrow night and live with it. Surrender to the outcome. Enjoy the opportunity. I mean, there's no pressure in it. It's a reward. Yeah. You get to go to a packed gym tomorrow night with people cheering you on. Enjoy that. Have fun. Don't worry about how it's going to end. Embrace and live in the moment. And hopefully we can win the moment tomorrow night.
Head coach of the Marathon Red Raiders, Adam Jacobson. Again, always really enjoyable to talk to him. Truly a coach and a teacher. And again, if you haven't had the opportunity, I think, to go out and enjoy a game, do it, because it is a lot of fun. You connect with your community, you connect with the student athletes, and especially now with these sectional games. And tonight, Marathon in Auburndale at a neutral site up in Merrill. Nice gym. Be a big crowd. It'll be a lot of fun. And I'll be there, play-by-play of the game right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. We'll start a little bit earlier tonight. Pre-game show at 6:35 and the opening tip at 7 o'clock. So looking forward to that tonight. Red Raiders and the Auburndale Eagles Marathon Basketball here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Coming up, we're going to have our daily history lesson, and also part of that, I'm going to tell you about a special event going on at UWSP at Wausau. Actually, at UWSP, excuse me, at the big UWSP, U.S. Labor Then and Now. Going to talk about that, have our daily history lesson as well. Coming up next, here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. I want to tell you about a special event coming this Saturday, March 9th, 9 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. It's U.S. Labor Then and Now. And again, as you've heard me talk about so much, history, knowing our history is so vitally important. And the labor history is really important as well. Boy, I mean, there have been times where labor leaders have been killed just for trying to get rights for workers. And really, some interesting films are going to be screened and talked about. It's a free event. Dr. Michael Childers, UW-Madison School for Workers professor, will screen and lead discussions of the labor films The Bayview Massacre, Mother Jones, Fistful of Lightning, Labor's Turning Point, Divided We Fall, and Starbucks Workers Unite. It will be again at UW-Stevens Point at 1901 4th Avenue in Stevens Point, the College of Professional Studies building, room 116, parking available on Lot 8. When the show is done today, I'm going to put this on my social media, the information, and also on our Facebook page for Bull Falls Radio as well, so you can get complete information on this. But the event is free again and open to the public with support of the program sponsors. Lunch will be provided by the Northeast Wisconsin Building and Construction Trades Council. Walk-ins are welcome, but RSVPs are also appreciated. Actually, the RSVPs were appreciated by yesterday. I apologize for not getting this out to you earlier. So, but again, walk-ins are welcome. And again, I will put this information out on my social media coming up when the show gets over this morning. But U.S. Labor Then and Now coming Saturday, this Saturday, 9 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. at UW-Stevens Point in room 116 of the College of Professional Studies building. And I would encourage you to take advantage. It should be, number one, incredibly enlightening, these films, and number two, having a chance to discuss it with Professor Childers and others, and a great way to spend your Saturday. Today is March the 7th of 2024, day number 67 of this year. That means we are now under 300 days to go in 2024, 299 days remain in this year. Some famous events have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1987, Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight boxing champion when he beat James Bone Crusher Smith in a 12-round fight in Las Vegas, Nevada. Tyson was only 20 years old. On this date in 1998, a Minnesota judge ordered tobacco companies to release 39,000 secret documents that might contain information on how the industry studied ways to lure children as young as 5 years old to smoke cigarettes. On this date, in 2008, video of a U.S. Marine throwing a puppy off a cliff while on patrol in Iraq went viral. After making some admiring remarks about the animal, Lance Corporal David Moteri tossed the puppy off the cliff. The puppy loudly yelped as it flew through the air. Moteri was discharged from the military. On this date in 2019, Queen Elizabeth II shared her first Instagram post, a letter between mathematician Charles Babbage and Prince Albert. Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Bryan Cranston, what a terrific actor in so many different types of roles. Bryan Cranston, 68 years old today. Comedian Wanda Sykes, turning 60. Actor Rachel Weisz of Black Widow and Denial is 54. Actor Jenna Fischer from The Office, played Pam in The Office, is 50 years old today. Actor Laura Prepon from Orange is the New Black, also That 70s Show, 44 years old today. And poet Amanda Gorman, who made such a wonderful, read a poem at the inauguration, 26 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Cereal Day. It is Flapjack Day. How can it be both Cereal Day and Flapjack Day? Because you have to choose. You can either have flapjacks for breakfast or you can have cereal for breakfast.
That's true.
What's your favorite cereal?
Favorite cereal would have to be Frosted Flakes.
Ah, that's a good one. I think that would be right up there for me. One that I love that I never can get anymore, you never see it, is Quisp.
Yeah.
Never see Quisp. Have to order it specially. It is Name Tag Day. It is Be Heard Day. Peace Corps Day. Plant Power Day. Unique Names Day. All right. What are we this week? What are you, 2-1?
2-1, I believe.
2-1 this week on our Number for the Day challenge with Ian Welsh. A chance to set a record. You haven't had a 3-win week, have you?
No, I have not yet.
So it's time to set a record today. All right. Number for the day. Are you familiar with the book Dune by Frank Herbert?
I've heard of the book. I haven't read it myself.
Okay. Well, the number for the day is publishers that passed on Frank Herbert's Dune when he was trying to sell it. So they said thanks, but no thanks. The choices for you, Ian: A, 16, B, 19, C, 22.
Number of authors who passed.
Number of publishers that passed
I would have to say C. I'm going to go with a 22. I'm going to go with the biggest number.
All right. So your answer is C. Well, the number of publishers that passed on Frank Herbert's Dune when he was trying to sell it was 22.
Nice.
Excuse me. That means you have set a new record?
Yes, I have.
Three out of four this week? And you won the last two last week, right?
So I did, yeah.
So that's five out of the last six.
That's nice to improve my record a little bit.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll
you
catch
too,
you.
Chad.
Yeah, we'll catch you again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Coming up, Matt and Air on Air. So stick around. Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.